It's a topic many parents can relate to, the complaint that their children feel entitled. Entitled to toys, entitled to an allowance, entitled to trips and tickets and gadgets, all without a sense of value. Which leaves frustrated moms and dads asking, is there anything I can do about this? That's where Linda and Richard Iyer's new book, The Entitlement Trap, comes in. It's one of more than a dozen parenting books by this Utah couple, and it's a guide to turning kids from entitled to aware, giving them a sense of ownership and responsibility, not only for their stuff, but for their families and communities too. Richard Iyer joins us on the line from Utah. Richard, explain why you think entitlement has become such a big problem. Because you write in your book that kids grow up feeling like they're stars in a reality show in which everything revolves around them.
That's right. They're kind of rock stars in their own world, aren't they? They have a Facebook page. They get a trophy for everything they do, whether they win or not. And it seems as though in generations past, kids were trying to please their parents. Now I'm afraid parents are trying to please their kids and be sure they don't fall short in the battle of who can give them the most. And, you know, it really is a fairly recent phenomenon, Sasha. I think part of it is that we're working more now. We tend to try to give kids things to make up for the time we don't have with them. But I don't think that's the whole thing. I think it's contributed to by everything from the media to the internet. People sort of get the idea that they do deserve pretty much everything, and kids don't have perhaps the perspective to understand that that just isn't the way the world works.
You also talk a lot in your book about a sense of ownership. You say kids don't have it. You mentioned, for example, that kids often forget expensive backpacks or clothes on the bus or at school, and they think, oh, that's okay. I'll just get another one. It will be replaced.
Well, quick story that I think really illustrates that one of our boys comes home one day and he's missing a shoe. And I'm like, son, where is your shoe? Well, Dad, you know, the snow's melting and we needed a boat. And man, the shoe worked great. It was floating down the ditch. But where is the shoe, son? Well, it went under the tunnel through where the ditch goes under the road. And Dad, it never came out. Well, son, do you know how much that shoe cost? Well, then he finally realizes I'm a little annoyed, and he gets a little annoyed, like kids are prone to do. And he says, well, Dad, it was actually your shoe because you bought it, and you'll probably have to buy me another one now, won't you?
Now, was that infuriating for you to hear?
Well, you know, after I got over the urge to smack him one, I thought to myself, this is an epiphany. This is actually a tremendous learning experience for me. And I realized at that very moment, he perceived no ownership of his toys or of his clothes. That was really the birth moment of this book. And we began to ponder the concept of ownership as the antidote, if you will, to entitlement. And I might add, the prerequisite to responsibility.
Well, and Richard, you talk about how for kids to have a sense of ownership, they have to know the cost of things, the literal cost of things. This made me think of my own childhood when we had little chore charts and we would get a quarter if we unloaded the dishwasher or folded the laundry. And at some point, I came to realize that some of my friends were just getting allowances for having done nothing. Now, you are not a believer in allowances for doing nothing.
Well, absolutely not. I mean, they work against us on so many levels. And we've worked with thousands of parents over the last few years as we've written this book on setting up a family economy where the goal is to make it as realistic vis-a-vis the real world as you possibly can. So kids have certain things they're supposed to do every day. They keep track of them themselves. And at the end of the week, there's a family bank. This is sort of the center point of the economy. It's a big chest, the most impressive thing you can get with a big lock on it. And it's payday instead of allowance day. The bank is open. And how much they get is exactly in proportion to how many things they remembered to do and did. Now they perceive that money as earned money that belongs to them. And the things they buy with it, Sasha, it is just remarkable. They hang up the shirt. They put away the shoes. They take care of the toys. They know how much they cost. They know how hard they had to work to get them. And it just totally changes their behavior and, more importantly, changes their attitude.
This family economy you propose, as you said, it can be elaborate. Deposit slips and weekly payments and pegboards. How realistic is that for many busy families?
It is completely realistic, and I'll tell you something interesting. It's like an infrastructure, Sasha. It takes a little time to set it up. And it does sound a little daunting, but what we've found over and over is once it's in place, it begins to save time. Because now, I mean, think about it. All the things your kids used to ask for and you were saying no and trying to explain why they couldn't have them, now the answer is always yes. You can have anything you want. Let's see your balance.
Richard Iyer, your proposal for how to cure entitlement in children goes well beyond just this idea of a family economy in which kids learn the value of what they do and are paid for it. You also propose a family legal system, a family mission statement, a family secret code for disciplining your kids in public when they're violating the family legal system. Give us a little overview of what all that is supposed to do.
Well, I like the sequence you're pursuing, Sasha, because even though it sounds just topically like, wow, you know, a legal system, an economy, how am I going to do all this? But again, it's an infrastructure, and the theory behind it is always the same. It's ownership. What if they feel like they own their grades in school? How much harder will they work? What if they feel like they own the conflict they're having right now with their brother? Instead of the parent doing the typical thing and saying, well, who started it? Well, how hard did you hit so-and-so? Who needs to be punished? And it's the whole concept of ownership that is just interlaced throughout this theory that if you want to overcome entitlement, kids must feel not just ownership, but earned ownership that they sacrificed for, and now they perceive they really do own whatever it is we're talking about.
Do you think there's an age at which a kid has felt entitled for so long that there's no reversing it?
Well, yeah, that's a very perceptive question. Setting up these little systems in the book is frankly, it's a slam dunk with kids who are between, say, 7 and maybe 12 or 13, because in that age, they're actually flattered by responsibility. But when you get a teenager, you're not going to have the same kind of response. And so the way to do it with a teenager is just to level with them, just to say, you know, son, you're 16. In 2 years, you're going to be away. You're going to be living on your own. You need to be financially responsible. How about as a test pattern, we set up this economy. We're not going to have you in the family bank. You're going to have a bank account. And what about if we practice for the next couple of years, turning over more and more of your decisions and your financial wherewithal to you in order to get you ready for when you leave? Most teenagers, when you level with them like that, and you're not trying to manipulate them, you're not trying to play a game with them, they'll respond.
But younger is better. If you can get to them younger, that's the ideal.
That's exactly what Linda says. It's best to start early, but it's never too late.
Richard, thanks very much for talking with us.
My pleasure, Sasha. Thanks to you.
Richard Iyer co-wrote The Entitlement Trap with his wife, Linda. For more on the book, go to hereandnow.org. And while you're there, let us know if you think that kids today are too entitled. Leave a comment at hereandnow.org or go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/hereandnowradio. We've already had some feedback. Ann Art writes that young people today are, in her words, the gimme generation. Lori Lippitz adds that kids are usually a reflection of or reaction to their parents. But Edward Thomas says it's a little more complicated. He writes, "Occasionally, I offer my child incentives to keep her room clean or to be exceptional in school. And, of course, she's grown to expect them, but not without fulfilling her part of the bargain. If a parent folds as soon as their child has a fit, then they are entitling their child." So let us know what you think. Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Please join us again here and now.